Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life. We're so glad that you've joined us today. And I've got something really special in my heart today that I want to share with you. So I just want to start by taking a little tiny survey. How many of you would like, let's say, more encouragement in your life? Right? Me too. How many would like more people to offer to help you? See? Wow. How about would you like a little more mercy when you make mistakes? How about patience? How many of you would love for people to be more patient with you? Maybe, you know, like if you don't understand something right away or you're not moving as fast as they'd like you to, how many of you would like them to say, don't worry about it, everything's fine? See, my husband's like that. He's like, don't worry about it, everything's fine. I'm like, hurry up, let's go, let's go. Who would like more money? I knew we wouldn't have any problem with that one. How about kindness? You really would like, just love it if people would just be a lot more kind to you. You know, there's some kind of snippy people in the world, isn't there? It's really bad when you run into a mean Christian. I really don't like that. And then last question I'll ask is, how about love? You just really like to have more genuine, real, pure love come in your way, okay? And I would just imagine that everybody watching by television would probably say yes to all those things too. Well, you know, there is a way to get all of those things that is 100% guaranteed to work. So now I'm sure that I have your attention, correct? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by his precepts being set aside. So, boy, if you really would take that apart and think about what he's saying, he's pretty much saying, you know, now you really need to pay attention to this because there's no way that you're going to kind of slide by this one and just pretend like it's not there. You know, sometimes when we read things in the Word or we hear a good message about something, we kind of like to maybe think it doesn't apply to us or there's some good reason why we can't do it right now. Everybody else, of course, should do it, but we've got a reason. But he's saying, don't even think that this is one that you can set aside. He inevitably deludes himself to attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, whatever. So that takes in anything that you want to think of. When we talk about the principle of sowing and reaping, we're not just talking finances. It works in finances, of course. But that's not the only area where this spiritual law. And you know, when something is a law, it's going to work that way every time. It's not something that works part of the time. How many of you know the law of gravity works every time? So, I mean, anytime if I want to throw my Bible up in the air, it's going to come down. And this law of sowing and reaping works every time. Whatever a man sows, that and that only. Somebody say only. Is whatever he will reap. So this basically means that this works in every single area of our life. Now, let me just say that if I make a mistake and I do something that I shouldn't, I've sown a seed. We know God's merciful and long-suffering, and I don't think that we always get a bad result for every bad seed that we sow. But I do believe that anything that we sow regularly and habitually, we can expect to reap a harvest that we're not going to really like. So sowing, you know, you put your seed in the ground and it takes a while for the harvest to come up. So I think sometimes what happens is, let's just say we sow a good seed, but we don't get a harvest, we don't get a harvest, we don't get a harvest. And so then sometimes we just kind of throw the whole thing out the window. We stop believing because we think, well, you know, this isn't working. And what you should do is sow a good seed and then sow another good seed and then sow another good seed, and another good seed, and another good seed, and another good seed. So when you start getting a harvest, you're going to get a pretty consistent harvest because you've continued to put good seed in the ground. And likewise, I think a lot of times if somebody sows a bad seed, let's say they're being judgmental and critical towards somebody else. I know none of us have any problems with that, but let's just say somebody watching out there today has a problem with that. So I wonder how often we talk bad about somebody, and then maybe 6 months later we hear that somebody's talking bad about us, and now we're all mad at them. And we might even say, you are going to reap what you've sown. But probably we're reaping on what we've sown at some other time in our life. So this waiting for the harvest, I think, sometimes can get us into a little trouble because we either forget that we sowed a bad seed or we give up on our good seed. Now, I'm about to do the only amount of gardening that I probably will ever do in my whole life, but here goes. Got some gardening gloves today. What do you think? Okay. Got my gardening tool here. Now, got dirt. Soil. Now, how many of you know that if I plant carrot seeds, that I am not going to get flowers? You aware of that? Are you pretty sure that if I plant carrot seeds, I'm going to get carrot seeds? I mean, how sure are you? Are you really, convince me, are you really sure?
Yes.
That, so see, we know that. We get that. And here's cabbage. So how many of you know if I plant cabbage, there is no way for me to get tomatoes if I plant cabbage? That's not going to happen. Likewise, I got some flowers here. Now, if I plant flowers, I'm not going to get a tree. I'm going to get flowers. And so we see this principle at work in the earth. And the Bible says in Genesis that as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. In the very beginning of the book, he instituted that principle. And we see it all over the earth. But it works spiritually also. And I honestly believe that God put this on my heart to share today because some of you could radically change your life if you would understand this principle and just start saying, I just need to sow better seed and I need to sow it consistently. Now, I'm really excited about this sowing and reaping principle, and I'll tell you why. And I think you will be too if you see this. I believe that this gives us a certain measure of control over our lives. I kind of like control myself. Matter of fact, I like it so much, God's had to deal with me about it. But we know God's sovereign, and really, without Him, we don't control anything. But when He gives a principle and says, now, if you operate by this principle, you do this, this is going to happen, then it is giving us a measure of control in our lives because that's saying, now, if you do this, this is the result you're going to get, and if you do this, this is the result you're going to get. And so I really should be smart enough not to do the bad stuff and consistently do the right stuff. I even think that this is a great thing for a believer to just even test. I think it'd be fun to just play a little game with God and say, okay, I just want to see if I can get more encouragement by sowing more encouraging seeds. And then just set yourself to make sure that you encourage somebody several times a day and just do it consistently, 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 consistently. And if I'm going to believe the Word of God, then I have to stand here and say, I believe that in due time, I will find that that harvest will start coming back to me. So let us not lose heart and grow weary in doing what's right, but let's keep it up and keep it up and keep it up and keep it up and keep it up. Now, in Galatians 6:8, it says, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap from the flesh, ruin, decay, and destruction. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap from the Spirit life and life eternal. So another really simple way to say that is I've got two ways I can live. I can either do what I feel like doing, I'm not going to like the results. or I can do what I know is right. I can do what I really believe that God would approve of, and then I'm going to reap life and life eternal. But that's not just talking about a trip to heaven. You know, I want to have real life while I'm alive here on the earth. And eternal life means life as God has it. It's not just a breathing life, but it's the kind of amazing life that God offers us. Now, this works in so many areas. Let's just take mercy. Matthew 5:7 says, blessed, and this is what the word blessed means, happy to be envied and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation regardless of their outward conditions. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, sowing and reaping. How many things, instead of making a big deal out of it, should we just say, I'm just going to let that go? I'm just going to let that go. And I thought yesterday about the scripture about how love covers a multitude of sins. And you know, that's showing mercy. When we can make a big deal out of something, but instead we decide to just be quiet about it. I don't know, you know, maybe Dave leaves the light on in his closet, and I'm tired of turning the light off in his closet, but I always have to tell him that he left the light in his closet on again and again. But what if I would just turn it out and say, God, I'm going to sow a good seed. I'm going to be merciful here. Because I don't like it when people are hard on me. And then, my goodness, Matthew 6:14-15. This whole forgiveness thing. I wonder how many Christians watching right now are mad at somebody. Are offended. It's the same thing, you know. The Bible says, leave it, drop it, and let it go. Leave it, drop it, and let it go. That's the Amplified Translation. I love that. Just drop it, leave it, let it go. I've had Dave say a few times to me, would you just let it go? Will you just get off that and just let it go? And that's exactly what God wants us to do. Matthew 6:14-15, for if you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up the resentment, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, to be honest, this is a scripture that we probably don't teach on enough. Because we really always just talk about the mercy side of God and the forgiveness side of God, and that, you know, God always forgives. And I believe that God starts the ball rolling with forgiveness. And I'll explain what I mean by that. When you want to come into a relationship with God, all sin is dealt with at that moment. Freely, by His grace, you're forgiven. But then God also wants to teach us how to live. And so He always wants us to take what He's given us and give that back out to other people. So if I'm taking all this mercy from God, but I won't be merciful to anybody else, and if I'm taking all this love from God, but I won't love anybody else, or if I'm taking all this forgiveness from God, but I won't forgive anybody else. I mean, we could go to Matthew 18 right now, but we don't have time to. Where a man demanded that somebody pay him back what they owed him. And it was a little tiny bit compared to what he owed to somebody else. And yet he wanted to be forgiven his debt while demanding that this other person pay their debt. And the master said, you will be in prison till you pay your debt. Well, I wonder how many Christians are in a spiritual prison where they have no freedom, they have no liberty, they have no joy, they have no peace. They're going to church all the time. They may read their Bible. They may give into the offering, but they're still not forgiving or being merciful or doing some of these other things. And it hurts us. It hurts us. It doesn't even matter if the person that hurt you, they could not even want your forgiveness. And from your standpoint, you're still wise to give it. Because that way, it sets God free then to deal with them. And to be honest, this scripture, I don't know what to say about it except just to read it to you. Because, I mean, I'm not real crazy about it either. I'd like to find some way to wiggle out of this, but, I mean, there it is. If you do not forgive their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, that means they did it on purpose. It wasn't even an oops. If you don't leave them, let them go and give up the resentment, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, I don't know, maybe some doctrinally smarter person than me will come along and say, you're not teaching that right, but I mean, that's what it says. And this is taken out of this, by the way. And then we can get into just financial blessings. When I said how many would like more money, man, nobody hesitated at all. Some of the others you hesitated on briefly. But nobody hesitated on that. Well, you know, God has a real special heart toward the poor. I mean, God loves everybody equally, we know that. But He's got a soft spot for people that are really underprivileged and hurting and don't have their needs met. And He expects us to help them. It's our job to help them. That's one of the main things that a Christian should be doing if they're going to show the fruit of their spirituality, is to help people. Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and that which he has given, he being God, will repay him. Anything that we do to help the poor, and the poor really can be anybody who has less than you do. And can I just say that everybody that you give to doesn't have to be desperate. Sometimes a person might need the blessing even more than they need the thing that you're giving them. Proverbs 11:17 says, the merciful, kind, and generous man benefits himself. So really, you're helping the poor, but you're actually helping yourself more than you're even helping the poor person, because you've gotten into this area of sowing and reaping. The merciful, kind, and generous man benefits himself, for his deeds return to bless him. Sowing and reaping. I sow cabbage. I'm going to get cabbage. Amen? Matter of fact, I was thinking about cabbage this morning, and I like cabbage. I thought, I'm going to get me some cabbage today and steam it up, put a little butter on it, a little salt, have me some cabbage. Well, I couldn't go to the store and buy cabbage if somebody had not sown a cabbage seed at some point in their life. We wouldn't have any trees to look at. We wouldn't have any flowers to look at. We wouldn't have any grass to look at. All the fresh fruits and vegetables in the store, we wouldn't have any of those if somebody wouldn't have sown a seed and then been patient while waiting for a harvest. Amen? To be honest, we all do sow seed. It's the kind of seed that we need to pay attention to. And I believe that there's seed, and then I think there's hybrid seed. And so I want to sow the very best seed that I can sow. And I don't want to sow good seed just to get some kind of a blessing in my life. First and foremost, I want to sow good seed because that's what God tells me to do, and I want to glorify Him. I want to live for His glory, and I'm sure that you want to do that too. Isaiah 58, starting in verse 7. First of all, he's saying, what kind of fast does God want us to observe? Because these are people that had been, they'd been fasting their food but mistreating other people. And he said, this is not God's chosen fast. The fast that He wants is that we divide our bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from the needs of your own flesh and blood. And then, boy, we get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 promises. And here they go. Then shall your light break forth like the morning, and your healing, your restoration, and the power of a new life shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness, your rightness and justice, and your right relationship with God shall go before you, conducting you to peace, prosperity, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you'll call, and the Lord will say, here I am. And it goes on and on and on down this list. Now, let me just read you these blessings that you can get just from how you treat the poor. And whether you know it or not, you got poor people around you everywhere you go. They're needy in some way. I can tell you that everybody in this room today is needy in some way. You know, you might have enough money, but you might desperately need encouragement. You might have enough money, but you might desperately need prayer in another area. We're not supposed to live selfishly, but we're supposed to. As Christians, it's no longer me, but it's we. Amen? And we keeps us out of trouble, but when we get tired of being we and we go back to me, come on, I feel a message coming on. So here they are. Give to those in need, and here's your harvest. Light, healing, restoration, power, righteousness, peace, prosperity, answered prayer, God's guidance, and strength for your bones. My goodness. And then verse 14, which we didn't even read. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will make you to ride on the high places of the earth. Now, I don't think that's just talking about a plane ride. I think that means promotion. God will lift you up and promote you in life and give you favor and give you blessings if you just will make it your business to be a greater blessing to other people. Let's be more concerned about our seed than we are our harvest. Because you know what? We plant, we water, and God gives the increase. I'm not responsible for the increase. I don't even need to worry about my increase. I don't need to get upset if I don't get it when I think I should have it. All I need to do is be concerned about my seed. And in Matthew chapter 7, it talks about the narrow path and the broad path. And I think that this doing unto others as you would have them do unto you is the narrow path that God has called us to walk on. Because if we're always going to treat other people the way we would like to be treated, then there's really not much room for my flesh or just walking according to the way I feel. So that in itself keeps me off of this broad path that leads to destruction. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and 5 verses, I can't read them all, but you can write them down, verses 6 through 11. Such good scriptures. It says, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will reap sparingly and grudgingly. If you want a little bit of encouragement, then just encourage somebody just every once in a while, but be sure you don't get radical with it. If you just want to have a little bit of financial blessings in your life, then just give what you absolutely have to. And when it's time for the offering, look in your wallet and pull out the smallest thing that you've got. And then if they dare, if you're in a conference and they dare to receive more than one offering, go ahead and get mad about the others. But if you really want to have radical blessing, then you could do radical seed. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will reap sparingly and grudgingly. But he who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. Well, you know what? God has got an amazing life for each one of us, every single one of us. God is good, and he has already prearranged and pre-planned a great life for every single one of us. And this principle of sowing and reaping is one of the ways that you can enter into that new life.
Today, we are in a prison in Namibia, and we're so blessed to be here because we're able to come bring the Word of God and also giving a gift pack, just a little message of love that has the Word of God in it and also has a bar of soap, a toothbrush, and some practical things that they really need. You don't often think about the prisoners in this country and other countries and in America who are so alone and need to understand that God has not forgotten them, but we know that God's Word says not to forget them. So we want to do what He asks us to do, and together you are helping to make it possible.
Let's all pray together nice and loud. Father God, I love you. Jesus, I believe in you. I'm willing to turn away from my sin. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. And I give myself to you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.